Culture.
History podcasts. The best of times is now. Podcasts about the past are booming.
If you think history is old hat, try getting a seat at the Royal Albert Hall on October 18th. The soiree at London's most famous concert venue sold out in May. Some 5,000 people will enjoy a bit of Mozart and Beethoven. The big draw, however, is a pair of chatty historians. The Dornish duo, Tom Holland and Dominic Sandbrook, have each written a stack of books. Fame enough to fill the Royal Albert Hall comes from something else, though. Since its launch in 2020, their podcast, The Rest is History, has become the most subscribed-to podcast in Britain, guiding listeners from Herodotus to the fall of Saigon by way of Lord Byron's affair with his half-sister. A new series on the French Revolution launched on July 29th for those who cannot get enough of Paris during the Olympic Games. The pair originally conceived of their podcast as an adjunct to book writing, says Mr. Holland. Now they have time for little else. The Rest is History is hardly alone. The hosts of Empire, a history podcast that has clocked over 30 million downloads, recently sold out another big London venue, the Barbican, in just 2 days. "We're the squarest rock stars you'll ever meet," jokes Anita Anand, one of the hosts, who says she has gained more fandom from the podcast than as a radio and TV host. Professionals in the industry may scoff that plundering the past for stories is easy, or that listeners just hope to sound clever without reading books, but the speed with which history podcasts have grown suggests other factors are in play. Some people realise in their 30s that their formal education has left big gaps. Unlike, say, science, history does not require specialised knowledge. The shows also create a sense of community and tap into ancient traditions of storytelling. For all these reasons, history podcasts are enjoying a golden age. Relatively speaking, that is. History will never be top of the pops, admits Mike Duncan, an American podcaster. Downloads for sports and entertainment fare or jokey current events shows such as the Joe Rogan Experience remain far more popular, but history shows tend to sport a longer tail than competing fare. Not many listeners will want to dig up old episodes of news shows' quick takes, but Mr. Duncan's podcast on Rome, which ended in 2012, still gets thousands of weekly downloads. "We're more like a record album than a newspaper," says Dan Carlin, a broadcaster whose Hardcore History podcast throws off more profits from its archive than new episodes. History is evergreen content. In America, around 100 million people listen to podcasts each week, according to Edison Research, a market research firm. Their mean listening time, over an hour a day, has grown 450% in the past decade. Nearly as many 18 to 34-year-old Americans now consume podcasts as watch TV. This has led to a proliferation in the ways that history can be sliced and the stories can be told. For example, when King Carruz started his Black History Buff podcast in 2018, his was a lonely specialization. Now he competes with half a dozen others exploring themes of Africa and the diaspora. Dig, created by four female historians, focuses on women and gender topics and can work as teaching material. Dan Snow, a television presenter whose History Hit is a top-performing podcast in Britain, has said that one secret to success has been to exploit niches where superfans of particular kinds of stories lurk. History Hit now has several offshoots, including histories of sex, the Tudors, medieval history, and spooky stuff. But entirely new history subgenres have emerged in the podcast ecosphere. One that would have seemed improbable not long ago is comedy history. Natalie Haynes Stands Up for the Classics, a show by an English writer and broadcaster, joins her talent as a professional comedian with her passion for the ancient world. The Dollop in America and You're Dead to Me by the BBC in Britain feature comedians riffing on historical subjects. The expanding volume, variety, and reach of podcasting is influencing the discipline of history itself. Neil McGregor, who as director of the British Museum hosted the influential History of the World in 100 Objects podcast, which first aired in 2010, is a podcasting partisan. It is so much easier to literally bring in different voices and views than in writing, he says, noting that the style of podcasts is evolving away from grand narratives towards dialogue and debate. This creates a broader, more nuanced and tactile understanding of history. Betwixt the Sheets takes a frank look at sex through the ages, from the influence of war on intimate apparel to how the Aztecs viewed homosexuality. Many podcasters, including professional historians, point to a parallel evolution. Their own capacity as storytellers keeps improving. It's just made us better at our craft, says Elizabeth Masaryk, one of the four DIG hosts. We are constantly writing and constantly researching outside of the niche that each of our PhDs is in. All that is good for an audience that, Mr. McGregor notes, increasingly looks for companionship in podcasts because they spend ever more time in lonely pursuits, such as exercise, than in social forums. Our audience weren't necessarily interested in history, concurs Mr. Holland, but I think lots of them like the sense of friendship. The rest may be history, but history, at least, seems to be getting better.